I've been, and where he brought me from, and how he keeps on giving the strength to overcome. I wouldn't want to live a single minute without Jesus in it. 'Cause when I look around, I have no place to run. What about his grace? What about how he came? What about the blood he shed on Calvary that washes sin away? Think of all he's done and how he helps us overcome. How could we ever run away? What about his grace? If you've been in his presence and you felt his mercy flow straight from his throne in glory to your wounded soul, how could you ever turn your back on Jesus when he died to free us? Ask yourself the simple thing before you go. What about his grace? What about how he came? What about the blood he shed on Calvary that washes sin away? Think of all he's done and how he helps us overcome. How could we ever run away? What about his grace? Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. What about his grace? What about how he came? What about the blood he shed on Calvary that washes sin away? Think of all he's done and how he helps us overcome. How could we ever run away? What about his grace? Think of all he's done and how he helps us overcome. How could we ever run away? What about his grace? What about his grace?
Amen. Thank you for that special. Appreciate that. Tonight, get your Bibles, please, to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter 3. And I want to take a moment and recognize our college students heading out. We had some leave last week, but have a few more leaving tomorrow and Tuesday, I believe. That's how that goes. So Rebecca, Gabby Bell, Brianna, and Aaron. And Aaron, there we go. And I think I got them. And then we have a few that left already with Noah and Susanna. Did I miss anyone? Did I get them all? There we go. We enjoy having them here for the summer, but it's hard to see them go because they're such a great help, but also an encouragement to see you go and preparing to serve the Lord, and what a blessing that is. So be praying for our college students as they go out and prepare. There's a lot that goes into the move and all that, so be praying for them. And I want to encourage you as well, write them a note throughout the year. Put some money in there. Would anyone be against that? Any college? Not against that. Or food. Food is a big deal, or something just to encourage them. That would be helpful. So be praying for them as they get ready to leave as well. And then I wanted to again announce, we've had a number of people go to heaven the last few weeks. And this coming Saturday, we have this service for Brother Nick Salyer. As we mentioned, he passed away a few months ago. That'll be this Saturday at 2 o'clock at the church. And then in a couple of weeks, we'll give you the dates, September the 14th for Brother Roberts passing away for his service. And then Brother McBride, they were with our church for many years, but he went to heaven a week ago Saturday, and they'll have the service here beginning of October. And then, as we mentioned this morning, Miss Gail, that comes and rides our bus, this faithful lady, she passed away yesterday. And so be in prayer for a number of people that have gone to heaven. And it's sad to see them go, but also thankful for heaven. And they're not lost. We know where they are, and there'll be a glad reunion time. But be in prayer for the families. But thank you for those that have reached out to them already and encouraged and helped in whatever way that you can. Appreciate that very much. Take your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. And as you find that, if you would stand to your feet, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll begin in verse number 16 and continue on to the end of the chapter. Colossians 3, verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. And husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things to your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." I want to talk to you tonight about being a servant of the Lord. Being a servant of the Lord. It goes through this list here, and it's kind of a bookend on each side of the whatsoever principles, and in the middle gives instructions, that it gives instructions to the wives, the husband, the children, the fathers, and then the servants. And as a Christian, we all should be servants of the Lord, right? And I want to challenge you about being a servant of the Lord and being a good servant. You know that there's a good servant and a bad servant. And I pray that we would hear that, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And that's really a desire of my life, and I pray it would be for yours. Let's pray as we continue the service. We thank you, Lord, for the night. Thank you for your faithful people. But thank you, Lord, for being our God. We thank you for your goodness, for your grace and your mercy that we're so undeserving, but Lord, we've been so blessed. I pray, Lord, that we would serve you from the heart and that we would not serve because we have to, but we get to, and thankful that you use our lives. You have a plan for our lives. Be with those tonight that are here and those watching online that were not able to come, and bless the night, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Colossians chapter number 3, again, as we look at this, gives the requirements of a servant. Servant, it says in verse number 22, again, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men's pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." And it gives a challenge of a servant to their master. And in many ways, these challenges in the middle verses here are about our earthly relationships. Our relationship with God, there's only one side that ever fails. And that's our side, isn't it? God never fails, never made a mistake, never forgot anything. All the things that we fail at, God never fails at. And that's great, isn't it? And so our relationship, when there's a failure, it's always one-sided. When there's a failure in earthly relationship, many times there's a failure on maybe both sides, that there's fault. And there's a challenge of working together in regards to husbands and wives and children. Servants and all those relationships in life, they take work. They take work. They don't come easy. There's maybe days that are easier than others, but there's definitely days that are harder than others. But again, this challenge about being a servant of the Lord, we serve a great God, don't we? We serve a great God. After all that God has done for us, how could we not live for Him? After all that God has done for us, if it was only salvation, and when I say only, that's not a small thing, but if all God did was save us from hell, hey, we get to serve the Lord, don't we? I hope you get that and understand that tonight, but I know this challenge really in this verse is about serving masters in an earthly relationship, And it's talking about not serving according to the flesh and men's pleasers, but serving with a right spirit. And as a church, and really our Sunday night crowd in many ways, are many of us servants of our church. Servants. And some are able to do more than others, some not as much as others. Some serve in a multitude of areas, some in a few areas, whatever it may be. We all get a chance to serve the Lord as a church. And that's what we should be doing. We get to serve the Lord together. And as we get to serve God as a group, we get to serve God. And we want to be pleasing to the Lord. And this morning we talked about the church and the importance of a church. And our church, and as I emphasize that again tonight, how important the church is in our lives. I mentioned it this morning, but I cannot imagine my life without church. I cannot imagine my life without the Lord. I don't want to, because God's been so good. And as we challenge tonight about being a servant, and I know that some of these terms are kind of taboo terms, if you will, but a servant or a slave. But as you look at that term and that really kind of what it is, whether it's a servant voluntarily or involuntarily, we serve the Lord. And the Bible says, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You say, I don't want to be a servant. Well, you signed up for it, but it's worth it. You're gonna serve one master or the other. You can serve God or you can serve the devil. Who do you want to serve? Hey, we get to serve God. There's only one other option. You can serve your flesh or the world. It's really following the devil either way. We get to serve God. And so it's voluntarily. We get to serve the Lord. And a servant is a slave, either literal or figurative, but one that is devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interests. Let me say that again. A servant is someone that is devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interests. See, a servant or a slave, they don't have an opinion in the matter. All right, and again, I know it's a taboo term when it comes to that, but between us and the Lord, but when God tells what to do, it's not like, Lord, I have my own opinion on this matter. God says, that's nice, but I don't need to hear it. I know what's best. A servant is one that's devoted to another, devoted, disregarding of your own interests, putting aside what you want with your life and saying, God, I want what you want for my life. A servant is one who worships God and submits to Him. To put yourself under the authority of God. Now, we all deal with authority relationships in life. All of us do. Remember, like as a teenager, you think, one day when I'm in charge, no one's telling me what to do. You're funny, because life is about being under the authority of another. And as a servant, we place ourselves under God's authority. Every day, you're going to have to choose to submit yourself under the authority of God, saying, God, I want what you want with my life today. I'm going to think and say and do only what you want. As you look at the example of a master and a servant, the boss and the employee, and the job of the servant is to do whatever the boss wants to do. It's not the job to contradict. It's not your job to tell the boss what to do. It's your job to do what you're told to do. And as a servant of the Lord, God, what do you want me to do? That's what I'll do. I'm your servant. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Whatever you want, wherever you want, God, I'm yours. Again, as we mentioned already tonight, but there's good servants and bad servants. You know, there's servants that God knows if He tells some of us what to do, we'll do it. And others that when He tells what to do, we won't. Or let's put it this way, there's areas where in your life, God can tell you what to do in certain areas, but there's other areas where we tell God, you can't touch those areas in my life. Let's be servants of the Lord tonight. As we look at these verses, we'll start in verse number 17 and look at a few other verses tonight. But in Colossians 3:17, it says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I want to look at a few principles here that really teach us about what it is to be a servant. And it says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, whether it's what you speak or what you do, it says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. May we serve in the name of the Lord. And everything that we do, may we serve in the name of our Master. May we serve because we have a king. We have our Lord that's given us a command, given us instruction, and may we serve in the name of the Lord. And not to be embarrassed of what God has told us to do, but say, I get to serve God in this area of my life. Because my master has given me a command. My master has given me instruction, and I'm going to do this in the name of the Lord. Not as men's pleasers, as it would say in verse number 22, but to serve the Lord, serving from the heart, fearing God. And it says, whatsoever ye do, anything that we do in our lives, in word or deed, should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. I wonder if there's things in our lives that we say or do that we couldn't say or do in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's things that maybe you wouldn't say technically be wrong, or things that might be kind of borderline, but we couldn't say that we're doing this in the name of the Lord. That it's a command from God, that it would be approved of God, that if God was with you, that you would be willing to do that in the name of God. Are you serving in the name of the Lord? Hey, we have a great master again, amen? We have a great master, and when I get to serve God, I get to do it in the name of God. I have a royal command from the King of Kings. Now, we have laws that we face on this earth, some that we agree with, some that we don't agree with. But God has set up areas of authority of where areas where we are supposed to obey. But again, we ought to obey God rather than man. And there's going to be times, and there already is, where man gives commands and instructions that is not biblical, that is not right. And just because it's a law or not doesn't make it right or wrong, right? But what does God's command say? See, God supersedes man's authorities and rules. But when God has given me a command, when God has given me instruction in my life, I'm the servant. It's not for me to argue it, it's for me to obey. It's not for me to like or dislike it, it's for me to obey what God has given for me to do. My job is to fulfill the word of God and the will of God in my life. Why? Because God is my master, and I'm his servant, and I want to serve the Lord. Serve in the name of the Lord, and all that you do, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Serve to honor the Lord. Serve to honor the Lord. Hey, we can bring honor or dishonor to the name of the Lord, right? We can give honor or dishonor to the name of the Lord by what we say or do. Understand this, that everywhere you go, you are a testimony of your master. Everywhere that you go, you're an example and you're a light that the world is going to see, that your family is going to see, that your workplace is going to see, your church is going to see, and you're an example of the Lord. So like it or not, we can't turn on the switch to be a Christian and turn it off. Well, I'm a Christian now and I'm not, so don't judge me. No, I'm supposed to honor God in everything I say or do, whatsoever, anywhere that I go, to bring honor to the Lord. See, God's name is attached to everything that we do. That does not mean God approves of everything we do, but God's name is attached to that. You know, people today that they blame Christians, they blame God for the failures of man. That's not God's fault, that's man's fault. When we fail, that's our fault. God has never failed, God has never sinned. But we're bringing dishonor to the name of God when we do that. We're bringing dishonor to our church, the Word of God, because we're not being the right servant that we should be. Everywhere we go, everything we say, everything we do. You say, there's a lot of pressure there, isn't it? Well, yes, there is. God is with us all the time. We're saved no matter what, but I'm an example of the Lord. And I want to honor God with my life. I want people to look at my life and represent the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll never match up. I'll never be the perfect example that I should be. So please don't use it as an excuse because someone failed that you get to fail as well. Well, if they did it, I get to do it too. If they're watching it, if they're going there, then I can do it, you know, because they said it's right. Well, what does God say? Let's honor God first in our lives and let's be pleasing to the name of the Lord. God's name is cursed. God's name is trampled on all the time. God's name is blamed for so many things. May we as Christians honor God's name and the Word of God with our lives. Serve to honor the Lord, but serve to give God the praise. serve to give God the praise. See, when God has commanded for me to do something in my life, when I go out and do that and someone says, man, good job, and you know what? You're like, man, I'm doing a pretty good job, aren't I? Don't worry. If you get praised by people, you will also get the discouragement from people as well, right? One of the greatest places that can be to preach, but also one of the greatest discouragements sometimes, is the rescue mission. You will never be corrected more for your preaching than at the rescue mission. And I don't want to say, like, do you know where you are tonight? And I don't want to have that spirit. I don't. And sometimes, like, you know, maybe you're right and I'm wrong, you know. But you're going to get praised and you're going to be discouraged at times as well. But it's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about what I get. You know, they didn't tell me thank you for that. You know, they didn't give me, I don't need the recognition because God needs the praise, right? Because I want them to see my Father. I want them to see God. I don't want them to see me. God uses you, but let's point people to the Lord. Serve to give God the praise. It says giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Everything I do, say, hey, only by the goodness of God. Only because God allowed me to. There's no praise that I deserve of my own. There's no praise that we deserve. We're but flesh. Hey, I know me. And you know you. And before we start to get a big head, we realize that we're but flesh. And we fail more often than we succeed in serving the Lord. And may we give God the praise. In Psalms 104, verse 33, it says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. As long as you live, praise and give thanks to God for His goodness. Hey, deflect it or reflect what you're given and saying, hey, it's only because of God. And point that back to the Lord. Anything that any talent, I don't have a whole lot of talents. I'm not sure my talents are still. Any talent that you have, any position God has given to you, any task God has given to you, let's put that back on the Lord. Right? Serve in the name of the Lord. But number two, serve from the heart. Serve from the heart. Look at verse number 23. And it says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Serve from the heart. It says to do it heartily. Heartily is with your whole heart. With your whole heart. You ever watch an athletic contest and you can just tell that someone is not, they're not giving their all? When you're the coach, and I coached our team for a while, not the greatest coach, all right? I enjoy basketball, not the good. Don't amen that one, by the way. You put your hand down, kid, all right? Serve from your heart. You got me off track now, Nehemiah. Now you're getting called out in church. All right. Wholeheartedly. But when you're sitting on the bench and you're watching that game and you see someone that everyone's hustling and one person isn't, you're like, get out of the game. Someone else get in that's going to try. Because really, it's not about the talent. It's about the effort. It's not about how much talent you have. It's if you're giving your whole heart. You might find that person that maybe is not as good as others, but they're going out there, and you can't give 110%, by the way. You can only give 100, and we like to give more percentages, but it's not possible. But they're giving 100% or 110 maybe, but they're giving their all. I'd rather have that person in, less talented, giving their all, than the talented person that's just kind of, you know, just laying back. May we serve God with our whole heart. With our whole heart. Giving God your all. Come into church and listening with your whole heart. Teaching with your whole heart. Singing with your whole heart. Everything you do, giving your whole heart, putting it into it. Why? Because God knows. God knows. We see the outside. God sees the inside. And God wants to serve from the heart. With the right motives, with the right spirit, giving your all. The Bible says in Psalm 119, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Seeking God with your whole heart. Not divided to your heart is going here and there, but God gets my whole heart, all of my attention. See, that servant to the master, when you love your master, when you serve a great master, you don't want to go anywhere else. There's no one else you want to serve, nowhere else you want to go, because you love your master. And when we have a great master, a great Lord and King, I give my whole heart because God gave me His all. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. And when God is so good, I can serve him with my whole heart. In the book of Acts, it gives an account back to Saul and David and the king of Israel. And it says about Saul, and when he had removed him, speaking of Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. God selected Saul because he was humble, but that changed, and all of a sudden he was lifted up in pride, and God rejected him from being king. And then God chose David, really an unlikely source, not someone you'd pick out of the crowd and go, oh, most likely to succeed in his family. It was least likely to succeed. So much that he was forgotten about when the prophet came to their house. You know, like, special guests come to your house and your parents don't even tell you, don't even invite you to the dinner. You're out doing your chores and you're like, thanks. I've been left behind a couple times and I thought, man, I felt really good about that one. I think I've told this before, but when I was a child, my parents fostered for a short time, and my mom and my aunt were going to take the car, which was a 5-seater, down to Disneyland. And they took my sister and my cousin and the foster child that we had in our house, and I got left behind. And I was like, hey, Dad, just me and you. And I was like, this is great, but, man, I really would have liked to be at Disneyland with the family. And I thought, well, okay, you feel a little left out with that. But David, the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. God saw something in David with his heart, that David was serving his father, his authority. He was right with his authority, right with the earthly figures in his life, and he was right with God, and he served him with his whole heart, his whole heart. See, serving from your heart comes out of love. Not being forced, but out of love. When you're forced, you know, you can't force someone into loving you. I don't know if any of you tried to force your spouse into loving you or your children. You can't force someone to love you. You can extend that love and wait for them to extend that back to you, but our service should be out of love to our master. Why do we serve God? Not because we have to, but because I love my master. Because we love him. There's nothing, if the heart issue is right and the love issue is right, there's nothing that God can tell you to do that you wouldn't do for him, because you love him. You love him and serve him from your heart. So first, we should serve in the name of the Lord. We should serve from our heart. And then thirdly, we should serve with all of our might. If you would turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Good luck finding that. You can go through the song of the books about Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse number 10. Really looking through these whatsoever principles when it comes to being a servant, but really they apply to those areas. And it says in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse number 10, it says, whatsoever, I think you found it there, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy what? With thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. See, serving with all your might is not doing the least that you can do, but doing the most. Having the attitude of, not what do I have to do today, but how much can I do for you today? We've taught our young people for many years in a youth group and in school that when you go get a job someday, if you show up, you probably get a job just right there. If you just show up, right? If you're presentable, and if you do what you're told to do, you're going to rise to the top in that job. And most of the time, those are entry-level jobs. But either way, you're going to rise to the top quickly. We've had a number of our young people that when they go get a job, and they not only do what they're supposed to do, but they do extra. The other employees get mad at them because they're making them look bad, because they're working so hard. Why would you do that? Because that's what you're being paid to do. You're being paid to work, not to sit. Not to play on your phone. You go, you go to a workplace and you got people that they're just on their phones and chatting, and you almost want to be like, hello, I'm here. There's sometimes I'm like, you know what, I'm going somewhere else. You know, I'm not waiting. I'm not doing that. Because you're serving only when you have to, or when someone's watching and not serving with all your might. See, as a servant, the Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. Not just a requirement, but something that you find to do. Not saying, well, it's someone else's job to do this. It doesn't matter. I get to serve the Lord. There's something that God put in my way that I get to do for Him. To serve with your might. Not doing the minimum. Not doing the least amount for God. When it comes to serving God in a ministry that you get to serve in, when it comes to prayer, when it comes to being a witness for God, not doing the least, but in saying, God, how could I do more? How could I do more for you? Again, when your heart is right and you love your master, you tell your master, give me more to do. Give me more to do. It's really about our spirit. Is my spirit right? Instead of, why do they keep making me do all the job? Instead of looking as a privilege that I'm given more to do for my master, not doing the minimum and not serving to please men. As we saw in the book of Colossians, we won't turn back there, but not doing it for as eye service, as men pleasers, but fearing God, serving from the heart. See, when I serve my master, when I serve my earthly authority, I should serve them all the time. You know this growing up in school. When the teacher leaves the room, everyone obeys, right? All the students obey. We've got cameras over there, kids, just so you know. We're going to find out. But there was a kid in our school, and he was not a good kid. And when the teachers left, he was the first one to step up and call names about the teachers and throw things. Nothing like super horrible, but he was a goof off. And he had a rebellious spirit, and he was always looking to get away with something. And that hasn't gone well for him in his life. But if we're only serving for someone to see us, if we're only serving because someone is there, what about when no one is there? Hey, are you a Christian 100% of the time? Are you saved and going to heaven all the time? Are God's commandments good for us all the time? Amen, right? They're good for us all the time. And so I should serve God with my might all the time, not just to please men. See, you're not serving to please me. You're not serving to please another leader in an area in the church or for your spouse or for your parent. Really, you have those authorities over you, but we should do that to serve God. See, when I'm in obedience to my authority, I'm in obedience to God because God placed that authority in my life. And I want to serve God from my heart all the way, all the time. You ever do that where you leave your kids alone and you tell them, you know, don't touch the cookies? My brother and sister-in-law there, you know, people find these things where they video their kids doing stuff, and there was this thing going around and all the parents have to do it. And they put these candies in front of them, in front of the kids, and set up a camera on the corner. The kids didn't see it. And the kids were really young. I feel like it was a dirty trick, to be honest, all right? You're really just asking for more. There's times as a parent I'm like, you should have obeyed, but I could have really helped you a lot more with that obedience. And they put one of their children and nephew there. And there was a number of candies there, and they said, now don't eat any. And when I come back, I'm going to watch and see if you took any. And I don't know if they told them then, but if they did, they were going to get more later. Now don't touch any. And they just left the room, sitting at the table with a line of candy in front of them. Would that be pretty hard to do, to not eat the candy someone put in front of you? It is, right? Amen. The adults are saying amen too. That's hard to do. And so they left, and one of them was just like, oh yeah, touching, and kind of getting closer. And the other one was like, no. And then it was like, oh, well, maybe. And they were kind of tempting. They never ended up eating it. And it was a pretty funny deal. And they came back and gave them extra because they obeyed at that time. But they wanted to see, basically, by video evidence, are you going to obey me even when I'm gone? Are you going to obey even when I'm not in the room? And that's a goal of us as parents, right? That your kids would obey all the time. You know, are your kids perfect? Nope. All right. Okay, good. Great. but not serving to please men, but to serve God. Not as men's pleasers, just for who is watching, but all the time. Serve with all of your might. Serve with all your might. We're servants of the Lord, right? You're saved, on your way to heaven, given commands by God. God has a will for your life. Hey, we get to serve God. Serve from your heart. Serve in the name of the Lord. Everything that you say or do, may we serve in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God be able to put his name and his stamp of approval on everything that we do. Are we going to be perfect at that? No. But may we strive to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, serving from your heart and serving with all your might. Hey, I'm a servant of the greatest master. He's the great. He's the best. Right? And if God asks me something to do, may we not have a wrong spirit. May we say, God, whatever you want, that's what I want to do. Head bowed and eyes closed, please, tonight as we begin the invitation time. I believe we have some great servants of the Lord. But there's areas where maybe we don't always have the right spirit. Maybe not always serving from the heart. Maybe not always serving for the right reasons. But may we serve God the correct way. May we be servants of the Lord, a testimony to others, but wanting to please God with everything that we say or do. God, would you please work on hearts and lives tonight, and may your will be done in this invitation time. If you don't know that you're saved and on your way to heaven, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you come forward during the invitation time, and we could show you from the Word of God simply that Jesus Christ loves you, died for you, that he's the only way to heaven. Maybe you need a time to come and pray and talk to the Lord tonight and spend time with him.